from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State on the Wild Michigan Talk Network. Brought to you in part by Lucky Buck, deer mineral out of Osseo, Michigan. Man, the deer have been on the move. A good friend of mine, Sarah, sent a picture of like 25 deer in the side yard, and they're all going to this Lucky Buck spot because the time is now where the minerals, they need to start replenishing what they've lost. Lucky Buck helps them do that. Plus, of course, it helps the bucks get much bigger antlers. And I'll tell you why I slipped up on that here in a moment. Also want to thank our friends at Safari Club International. Their big banquet is coming up at Eagle Eye on this coming Friday and Saturday, actually next week. Friday and Saturday at Eagle Eye. All of that information is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, in the events page. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But why I said anglers is because this is on my brain right now. Brian Bilecki is with me here from Nomad Anglers. The fly fishing film tour is going on, and that'll be happening on March 13th, correct?
Yep, correct.
It's coming to Mid-Michigan, coming to Okemos.
Yep.
And tell me a little bit about this film tour about fly fishing, because as I told you off air, I'm the guy that knows just enough to not do it right when it comes to fly fishing.
No, for sure. The film tour has been going on for about, I think, five years now, traveling the country. They do set it up at different cities across, and it basically features the best in the industry fly fishing, like independent filmmakers. So if you've seen like the Banff Film Festival for all outdoor gear, like skiing and mountaineering and stuff, this is just fly fishing. So it's really high energy. They travel around the world basically showing clips from the Seychelles chasing giant trevally to a segment on Montana, just all different things. And we're hosting it in Okemos on the 13th at the Studio C, the theater that serves beverages.
Same beer. We like beer here on Wild Michigan.
They're going to have extra staff there for the crew we got coming in. So we did the film tour in Grand Rapids about 3 weeks ago. We had over 400 people at the Wealthy Street Theater. And this year we're going to do it at the Studio C here.
Well, that'll be cool because, and I'll be honest, I mean, I know very few guys that are dedicated fly anglers. I mean, and it's something, it takes a lot of work, a lot of practice, and there's a lot to know. I mean, there's some very basic things that you can get started with, but I think seeing this fly fishing film tour may inspire people to want to get involved because, again, this is something that, unfortunately, this is something we talked about off air also, that it's like going into a gun shop. And I'm probably gonna not make some gun guys happy. But you know what? This is the truth, and this is how it happens. You go into a gun shop sometimes and you get a look from people like, why are you here? Not, hey, can I help you learn more? But you get the why are you here look. And I've had that from a couple of different fly shops. I've gone in to maybe talk to these guys about advertising, whatever. And it's if you don't speak the language in a lot of places, it can get very intimidating. And, you know, you get looked at funny. But we'll talk about your shop in a minute because I know that's not the case. I was up north one time, as I was telling you, and I walked into this fly shop, didn't really know anything about it. And I got that same kind of look. But then the owner came over and, you know, really kind of put me to ease at things. And that was Rusty Gates, who fly anglers know he was like a god in Michigan and other places. So, but This film at Studio C coming up on the 13th in Okemos, 7 o'clock is the start time. This might change some minds then.
It'll get you excited. Everyone that left the Wealthy Street Theater was, you know, ramped, ready to go, especially with the weather that we had, a lot of the features show saltwater destinations.
Mm-hmm.
But going back on what you were talking about, the fly fishing, it can be as easy as going catching bluegill in a pond,
sure,
or traveling halfway around the world and chasing giant trevally on a fly rod. So
that's cool too, because you know, like a lot of guys, I bought my Shakespeare pre-made kit, you know, and that's how I started fly fishing. From then, I didn't really go forward from there because, you know, I found other things. But Michigan is so friendly to fly fishing. I mean, we have fly only areas in the state, and you know, maybe this film for somebody that can quietly go in, that doesn't know much about it, can see for themselves and maybe get charged up, like you said.
Yeah, no, for sure. In Michigan, we just have such a diverse fishery that you can chase, you know, smallmouth bass in the Red Cedar to Atlantic salmon up in the Sioux on a fly rod. So there's just lots of opportunities.
And tell me, is there going to be any carp fishing on flies in this?
There might be like little segments. So
sure.
It features, there's, I think, 8 different filmmakers.
Okay.
So it's a good assortment of different locations. But yeah, it's, the carp has been one of the niche markets for us that we've done very well with lately.
And I've got a friend over in Ireland that they do a lot of fly fishing, and they do, you know, wild caught trout in Ireland, pike fishing, mm-hmm, on fly, which to me is a little, really?
Yeah, our biggest out of the Red Cedar last year was 42 inches on a fly.
Wow.
So there's some great opportunities right, you know, near the radio station here.
Yeah, shh. Don't tell people that. No, Red Cedar though, and now it's being opened up to salmon fishing, which will be great too.
Mm-hmm.
As of when I was younger, we couldn't, but we did.
Right.
Ryan Vilecki is joining me here from Nomad Anglers, his shop in Okemos and one in Grand Rapids. The fly fishing film tour is coming to Okemos, Michigan here on the 13th next week. What, from your perspective, I mean, I know you're more educated when it comes to fly fishing. I mean, we'll talk about your shop here in a minute. But, I mean, this film, do you think it'll drive average angler, I mean, to just want to learn a little bit more?
Oh, no, for sure. It kind of opens up the opportunities for different species. I think, you know, fly fishing, most people have the idea that you go up and catch a trout.
Sure.
On a dry fly, but you know, you see, you know, some of these bonefish chasing down a fly, or you know, a tarpon jumping out of the air, and you know, if you're down in Florida traveling, you know, if you want to get away from this weather, there's just lots of different cool travel opportunities and you know, places to go and see.
When we think fly fishing, you know, and again, maybe this film will open up some eyes too, because you know, I look at a place that I'll be trout fishing, spinner, you know, I like spinner baits for trout, but I look around, I'm like, gosh, there's really not a lot of room to fly fish through here. But that's kind of a misconception too.
No, for sure. You know, if you outfit the right way, and I think that's the problem with a lot of people getting into it, buying that Shakespeare setup at a big box store. And if you're not, you know, equipped with the right tools, you're off to a bad start right from the get-go.
Well, you know what? And we're going to talk about how to get set up here in a minute, which I really want to do. Again, the film is coming up. And it is going to be the 13th, which is next week, at Studio C in Okemos, 7 p.m. How much are tickets? Because
$15 and okay, $20 at the door. We're getting closer to getting sold out.
You can
go to the website. And it's just a cool event.
Okay, nomadanglers.com, nomadanglers.com. There's going to be a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find out about the fly fishing film tour. Costa Eyewear is sponsoring it. And
yep,
who else is
we're
sponsoring
giving
it?
Away a ton of prizes. All proceeds go to a charity. We're giving away an Orvis Helios rod, an $800 rod.
Wow.
A ton of equipment from all the vendors that we carry. Costa sponsors it. Sage Fly Rod sponsors it. There's, you know, it's all the main industry people.
Okay. And we'll talk about some of those names too. And also, you know, let's not be intimidated by words like Orvis and Sims. Okay. We're going to learn about these things in a few minutes here. Brian Vilecki is joining us from Nomad Anglers, nomadanglers.com. You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Wild Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host. In the studios of the Wild Michigan Talk Network, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. That's where you can go and find out about the big banquet coming to the Eagle Eye Conference Center next Friday and Saturday. It's a two-day event at the Eagle Eye, and our friends at Safari Club International are going to be putting that on. It is their chapter fundraiser, and this is a big-time auction, big-time dinner, low cost. Find out how to get there and get your tickets and get yourself some great deals on some hunting trips and some fishing trips with Safari Club International, and that is, again, at our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and there's a link to the SCILansing.com website there, and you can find out how to get your tickets and join us next Friday and Saturday, the 14th and 15th. Right now, Brian Balicki from nomadanglers.com, and of course the shop Nomad Anglers in Okemos in Grand Rapids. Brian, let's talk education, because I can walk into your shop right now and I'll know just enough to either scare myself out price wise, or you know, or just kind of look around, and go, just looking at some hackle, just looking at a few things, you know, advice, but and not really know. But you guys educate people, which to me, teaching is the way to demystify the whole process of fly fishing.
No, for sure, you know, and that's what we offer. You know, compared to a big box store that you know you can go to, is we have a course called the Fly Fishing 101 course that we offer. Basically each shop has a date in April, May, June, July, and August. So Okemos and Grand Rapids, you sign up for it, you sign up for free. We provide all the gear, you show up at the shop, and we, you know, explain the basics, you know, so you can go now to a pond and catch bluegills.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you enjoy it, then maybe take it to the next level, and we offer private casting lessons, walk-in instructionals on rivers around here, or we can take you on a guided trip, say on the Grand River for smallmouth bass.
You know, and when you talk about walk-in instructionals, that's very important, because you know what? I can go to a seminar, I can watch somebody, I can learn from that to a degree, but I'm the type of person, I have to have my hands on something. I can't have somebody just explain it. I have to physically do it myself, get that motion into my body. You know, and having somebody teaching me the proper motion. And again, with private instruction, there are guys, gals out there that don't want to be embarrassed in a big class. You know, not that, you know, somebody would call them out and embarrass them, but they would feel embarrassed.
No, for sure. So, you know, $50 an hour for two people. So you sign up anytime. We have a lot of skilled instructors and kind of schedule around your time.
Now, you're a young fella. You know, This is one of those things that it must have bit you early.
You know, I grew up in Grand Rapids. I grew up skeet shooting, mm-hmm. and I was a nut about it. And one of the guys, I used to run one of the sporting clays clubs, and a guy got me a fly rod set up, and I went out and tried it for the first time, put away all my conventional tackle, and I was hooked. You know, I went to Michigan State thinking I was going to be a doctor.
Right.
I graduated with a human biology degree, and now I own two fly shops. So it's, I became a trout bum, but I'm doing something I absolutely love to do.
Now, I'm gonna give you may or may not know this. A gentleman I had the pleasure of working with last week, I don't even know where I've been. I was at the Bassmaster Classic. I work with Bill Dance.
Okay.
Bill Dance, grandfather, doctor, father, doctor. Look at Bill Dance. He's making more money than all of them put together.
Right.
And he's a bass angler. And it's one of those things that I used to be that young guy, big bass fisherman, loved it. And then I found trout fishing and steelhead and things of that nature really changed my mind. But getting back to the Bassmaster Classic, and I have a new respect for it, because it's like NASCAR for fishing down south. But here in Michigan, fly fishing used to be like just the biggest thing. Ernest Hemingway, I mean, the biggest names would come here to Michigan to fly fish. And I think a lot of us have gotten away from it. And this is what we probably, self-included, maybe take a look at it with open eyes and not look at it as this elitist sport that there are some people that have made us feel that way.
No, the, you know, kids and women are probably our top, you know, growing customers that, you know, are getting into it. And the, it's most of the streams, I'd say 99% of our customers is all catch and release. And we like to say, you know, wherever a trout lives, there's is not a not a beautiful place. So
exactly. Explain the calm you feel when fly fishing.
It, you know, I just enjoy standing out there a lot of times, you know, blocking everything out, work and such. But there's times where, you know, I host a lot of trips down to saltwater destinations, and it's intense. It's exciting. If you go to that film tour, you're going to see there's two different sides of fly fishing. There's the, you know, traditional dry flies, mm-hmm. you know, that you think of. And then there's the new younger age fly fishing that's intense, and you're chasing down fish and running after them. The fish are running and jumping and going all over the place.
You know, I think of, I better tell people who the heck I'm talking to. Speaking of Brian Bilecki from Nomad Anglers, his website, nomadanglers.com, there is a fly fishing film festival going on in Okemos, Michigan, next week on the 13th, which is a Thursday, and that'll be held at Studio C in Okemos, and that's a very nice film theater there that serves beverages, adult beverages, if you will. Tickets are $15, $20 at the door, nomadanglers.com, and there's a link on our website. But Brian, and you, again, you have the shops in Okemos and in Grand Rapids. When I think saltwater fishing, first thing that comes to mind is Mark Sosin, you know, big guy with the goofy hat that, mm-hmm. that's been on TV for 100 years. But again, things have progressed from those old school TV guys too.
No, for sure.
You know, and like you said, Orvis, which is such a well-known name in the fly fishing industry, which again, so scares some people. They've got a starter combo pack for like $100, you said.
Yeah, the prices on gear have gone down considerably. You know, we have a starter kit just over $100. It's a rod, reel, line, backing, leaders. And then you sign up for the, you know, free 101 class, and you're ready to go besides buying a few flies to go fish. So, but you get what you pay for. You know, sure. Some of the American made products, like, for example, the Sims waders you mentioned earlier, sure. Kind of scare you. Yeah, they have a pair of waders that are $800.
Oh my gosh.
But they got waders that are just over $100 too. But, you know, it's one of those deals. You buy the Gore-Tex, it's going to last you probably 5 more years.
Right.
And we can point out all those differences at a specialty shop like ours.
You know, and that's one thing too, in the last minute of the segment here, to explain to people that education is first and foremost when you're not trying to drive somebody to the most expensive thing and you'll never see them again. You know what? If you get them something good that they can start with, and then, or maybe they want to start mid-range, you know, you'll get them back.
No, for sure. That's what we're about. We want to make sure every customer's happy.
Absolutely. And you know, I've talked to fly guys in the past and I've been excited and then I forgot about it. But now with this film festival with that I see you have classes and you're just outside of Lansing, which is awesome, or in Grand Rapids, which a lot of our listeners are on the west side of the state, nomadanglers.com. You can find out where they're at, find out where their classes are going to be. And Brian, you'll probably be at one of the stores at any given time.
No, for sure. So we got good guys at both locations.
Good. I'll sneak in there one of these days and come see you. Brian Bilecki, nomadanglers.com. The film is happening next Thursday at Studio C. Make sure you get on the website, wildmichiganradio.com, and find out for yourself. Brian, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Lee Likowski.
And I'm Tiffany Likowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez in the studios of the Wild Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks to Brian Bilecki from Nomad Anglers, the fly fishing film tour coming to Okemos, Michigan on the 13th. And I think this is one I'm going to check out next week. I'll just check it off on Thursday and I will be there and it'll be a big time. And also in Detroit, Macomb, I think is what's going on this weekend. Huge fly fishing show with all the vendors from the industry. We'll be at that as well. But next week we'll be at the Fly Fishing Film Festival. Looking forward to that. Right now, Doug Koenig is joining us here, a world renowned shooter, marksman. Doug, there's got to be a proper title for you to have.
Well, it's kind of tough. I mean, over the years, I've been called the best all-around shooter in the world because I've shot a lot of different shooting disciplines and won titles in rifle, shotgun, handgun, three-gun, team matches. So, but you know, I started out shooting, you know, competitively, shooting with handguns. It was really where I got my start.
Now, this is interesting because some people, men, women, focus on a certain discipline, but you have all of these covered. And the basic principle, and I learned this from Tom Knapp, is the center of an aspirin is the same size as the center of a watermelon.
That's correct.
When it comes to shooting.
That is correct. That's a good statement, but that is true.
How do we find that center? How do we, when it comes to shooting, find that inner center to put this with various disciplines in shooting?
Well, aside from shooting shotgun, but rifle and handgun especially, pistol shooting, you know, I like to kind of break it down and keep it simple. I think a lot of people like to make it sound and seem a lot more, black magic or difficult to do, but it's really simple. You align your sights and you squeeze the trigger and you try not to disturb it when that's all happening. I mean, that's really a fundamental key, you know, whether you're using, you know, optics on there, iron sights, you know, you put your if you're using a reflex dot sight, you're putting that on there, squeeze the trigger, don't move, or you line your iron sights up and the same thing, hold it as steady as you can and squeeze the trigger, and if you don't disturb anything, the bullet should hit right where the sights were.
Speaking with Doug Koenig here on Wild Michigan. Doug, one thing, and I'm guilty of this, as are many that shoot trap or target, whatever. Sometimes we have a tendency to overthink everything in the process before we even pull the trigger.
Well, that is a major problem, you know. And even when you do shoot trap or any clay target shooting sport, I mean, the whole thing is just you got to kind of empty your mind and just stare hard at the target. And, you know, once you've had your shotgun, you know, fitted to you, you know where the point of impact is, there's no sense thinking about it. You just have to, you want to use your instincts and react and just stare at the target and watch it break. No different. I mean, that's a very good analogy because, you know, I've taken a lot of guys, you know, we go out bird hunting, quail hunting, pheasant hunting, and, you know, a bird gets up, they just react, shoot it, make some really great shots. But you take them out on a sporting course and they have to stand there and look at the target, and they miss easy shots, and I just tell them, hey, don't think about it. Just react to what you see. Let your body just naturally use its instincts just like you were hunting, and that's really the key in any type of shooting sport.
Speaking with Doug Koenig here on Wild Michigan. Doug, when we shoot, like you said, with bird hunting, there is no, I mean, you have a rough idea. If you're using dogs especially, you have a rough idea where that bird is going to come from, but its pattern of flight is going to be varied.
That's right.
So there's no time to think. But is there a proper way, let's talk trap or skeet, to maybe get an anchor point before we shoot?
Absolutely. You know, everybody's kind of got to find their hold. You know, if you're shooting trap, you know, whether you're shooting with a mounted gun or dismounted gun, you want to try to at least get consistent in your hold point and where your vision, you know, want to pick up the target and then address the target. So you don't want to have your gun pointed all over the place because you build no consistency on how you approach the target. And that follows suit whether you're shooting five stand, sporting clay. You know, you want to start with some sort of basic foundation and not be real haphazard. You know, that definitely would really help your success rate for sure on the clay target field.
Yeah, last year we do something called a sportsman's triathlon, which we're doing again this year, which includes 3D archery, trap shooting, and golf.
Interesting.
You don't have to be terribly athletic, thank goodness, and that's why I get to do it. But I learned from a friend of mine, you know, point at the anchor yourself to the corner of the house and then just swing from there and follow through on the shot. Follow through when it comes to trap or trap or skeet. Follow through is pretty important as well.
It is, you know, and the way I like to kind of explain the follow through, this is where I think people do get into trouble. They try to consciously think of follow through, and what I try to do is just tell people that I'm shooting with, or even myself, is just watch the target break. If you're so focused on the target as you generate that gun speed wherever your starting point is, because gun speed is lead. So as you approach the target and you get that that gun moving, that's going to have some help you with your lead, whether you, whatever style you shoot, pull away, sustain lead, maintain lead. But once you get there, stay focused on the target. And if you see the target break, and you know you've built enough follow through in for the shot, you don't have to, you know, keep telling yourself, you know, keep the gun, you know, push it. Because I think that's a conscious thought, and that's where you get into trouble. Because as soon as you're thinking that, you're not letting your subconscious work, which is stare at the target, let the lead open up, and just watch it break, you know.
Now, speaking with Doug Koenig here on Wild Michigan, Doug has been named for the best shooter in the world all around, not just one specific discipline. Staying on the topic of skeet and trap, when it comes to shooting, again, you're thinking, a lot of people think one eye closed.
Definitely not. You know, both eyes open. I try to tell anybody, well, it doesn't matter if you're shooting rifle, pistol, shotgun, but if you can keep both eyes open, if you don't have an eye dominance problem or, you know, any type of problem to keep you from that, is start out shooting with both eyes open. The analogy I like to use is, do you drive down the street with one eye closed? Okay, do you think about how much hand pressure you have on your steering wheel and how much pressure you're putting, you know, on your gas pedal? You don't. You just do it. And the same thing with shooting. You know, both eyes open, it gives you more input, gives your brain and subconscious better depth perception, and your ability to react to the situation. And once you have your gun fitted, make sure your stock's not too low, because that's another problem. If your stock's very low on a shotgun, and when you mount, if you cheek the gun hard and your dominant eye drops below, you're going to, you know, either try to squint, try to lift your head up, your other eye's going to take over. But I always tell everybody, as best as possible, learn to shoot with both eyes open. You'll find that your scores will definitely go up.
You know, that's very, very good advice, because I think a lot of times, because we're so focused on keeping the one eye closed or trying to lead the target, whatever, again, we're overthinking, and that's guilty. Yeah. I'm very guilty of that.
We all are, and we all have been. You know, it's just a different kind of way to look at it and think about it.
At what point in time did you start, what did you start with your shooting? Was it small, like rimfire? Was it the shotguns?
You know, I grew up, you know, in rural Pennsylvania, and, you know, I could shoot in my backyard. And you know, very first gun I ever had was a BB gun, pellet gun, and then kind of moved up to a 22. My brothers and I would just be shooting in the backyard and set up little targets and stuff like that. And then, you know, but when I really started to compete, I started with a handgun, a centerfire handgun, a 45. And, you know, that was really kind of my passion. I just loved it. But I was always drawn, you know, to guns just in general and hunting. And what really kind of got me drawn into the competitive shooting is, you know, just where my dad and I had purchased a handgun, a local gun shop, and they shot competitively. They invited me out, and, you know, the rest was kind of history. I was looking for something to fill the void. You know, hunting season was only a couple months out of the year, and I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it, and the competitive shooting just was a natural fit for me.
All right, Doug Koenig is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Doug, hang on the line. We got more to talk about. I want to talk about handguns with you, as I have now entered that realm. So hang on real quick. Speaking with Doug Koenig here on Wild Michigan.
Boom. Yep.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State. And our website, you can pick up the podcast absolutely free, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wildmichiganradio.com. And we are speaking with Doug Koenig right now, a pro shooter all around, you know, has been known as the best all-around shooter in the world. And we are learning plenty right now, Doug, and I appreciate you joining us here.
You bet, my pleasure.
I recently purchased a handgun for the first time. I've always wanted to learn. I took my CPL class, but now it's about practice with a handgun. Aside from the responsibility of carrying, you need to know your target, and there has to be some basic tips for people just getting started, self included, when it comes to handguns.
Absolutely. You know, one of the best things I can tell anybody, whether you're competitive shooting, you're going to carry for protection, or have it in your home for protection, is you got to know the firearm, okay? And the best thing you can do is obviously make sure it's unloaded, but, you know, dry fire it, handle your gun, know your gun, know how to take it apart, you know, all the different things. You know, dry firing, to me, what I tell people that'll come in for a class is, you know, do all your gun handling skills, you know, your dry firing, you know, trigger squeeze, work on all the basic stuff. So when you actually get to the range, you actually get to shoot. If you don't do anything, don't touch your weapon, and, you know, you don't put your holster on and do any practice draws or anything, and you show up at the range and it takes you an hour to get all that set up, and you get 10 minutes to shoot. I mean, not everybody is in my situation. They get to shoot for a living. So make, you know, good use of your time, especially us guys in the north, that it's freezing cold out in the wintertime. Do a lot of dry firing. It doesn't hurt the guns at all. I mean, the only guns you have to worry about is, you know, 22 rim fire. You just want to make sure the firing pin doesn't hit the breech face. But any other handgun, you know, you're not going to have any trouble. You're not going to hurt it. You're not going to wear it out. Just dry fire. Get to know your handgun. Get to know your guns intimately.
Now, I've seen things on the market too, Doug, like snap caps, things that will go in your firearm so there's something that the pin hits. Anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, they work okay. It's fine, but it doesn't, on the flip side, you don't need it. I mean, literally, okay. My guns, you know, I still dry fire. I don't dry fire as much as I did when I started, but, I mean, I've got guns. I can't tell you how many times they've been dry fired. 100,000 times, more than that, I don't know. It's crazy, you know, because when I dry fire, I'll dry fire for an hour, and I may, you know, may snap it, you know, 300 times in that amount of time. So I've never broken a firing pin, never broken a firing pin stop, anything from dry firing. So
that's good to know.
Yeah.
Because there's some things, you know, and again, like we talked about fly fishing, about learning, like golf or like archery, muscle memory, getting those things. And you know what? Your hands are very complex, and muscle memory when it comes to a firearm from use will, I think, help a lot too.
Absolutely. And, you know, doing the dry fire, handling gun, first off, anytime you're more familiar with something, the better you're going to be with it. And especially, I mean, I can't stress enough, I mean, competition is something you do for recreation, enjoyment, whatever the reasons are. But if you're going to carry, you know, conceal for protection, you know, there, you know, hopefully you never have to use it, but if there's a time that you're going to, you know, it's going to have to be done correctly. So you have to, you know where your gun is, number one, be able to get it out of the holster, and be able to, you know, defend yourself, you know, and not shoot yourself or do something accidentally. So all those things come through muscle memory, repetition, knowing your equipment, knowing your gear, dry firing, and you're just going to be way, way ahead of the game.
Speaking with Doug Canning here on Wild Michigan. Doug, you've done some TV and continue to do some TV, and there are instructional aspects to television as well. And radio's cool. I love it. I've done it for over 20 years. But TV, learning that way, when you don't have time to go out and get private instruction or whatnot, you can do it, and you do it on TV yourself.
Absolutely. You know, I've been a guest and been shown on Shooting USA, and then I've got my own television show, Doug Koenig's Championship Season, and, you know, January through June, it runs on the Sportsman's Channel, and July through December on Pursuit Network. And, you know, the really unique thing about my TV show, it's pretty much 50-50. We cover competition shooting, setting up gear, a little bit of concealed carry, you know, how to clean your gun, just all information stuff, how to get started. And then the other 50% of the show is hunting. And we take the similar angle there, show you how to get your gear ready, how to practice, how to get set up, you know, whatever type of hunt I'm going to go on, whether it's a crossbow hunt, bow hunt, handgun hunt. It's not just grab your gun or weapon and go out. It's how do you set up, how do you practice, how do you prepare. And we do the same thing in the shooting side with the competitive shooting and things of that nature. So there's a lot of information, and, you know, I'm real proud of the show. I think it's a really good resource, and you know, for me, it's giving back. It's the lifestyle I love and my kids and myself live.
You know, there is so little instruction that in, you know, I've got a lot of friends in the industry. I mean, some of the biggest names in the outdoors industry, and it's, God bless them. I love these guys and I always pick them about it. It's day three in the blind. We're right. In Kansas. Okay. What does that teach? How did you get there? You know, how did you get to this point? You know, and there's not enough of that on TV. And this is why I'm glad you're here, because you do offer that.
Yes, absolutely. We take it from, you know, A to Z, you know, setting up and going through the process, you know, because for a lot of people, whether they've been on a hunt or just hunting at home, you know, just, you know, how to help them be a better hunter, be a better shooter, you know, whatever they're looking to gain out of it, and entertain them along the way.
You know, this last year, in Michigan, it's very difficult to draw an elk tag. I drew an elk tag.
Wow.
In Michigan. I had never shot a big rifle before. Okay, maybe a lever action 30-30, doing the Wild West shooting, whatever. Thanks to my buddy that lent me his 7mm mag, I went out to the range one time. I got everything grouped in, but nothing can prepare you for looking down a scope at an elk.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
All the practice in the world. I mean, there are things that sometimes are just a little overwhelming. And thank God, you know, I got a nice bull out of the deal. But again, I wish I would have practiced more.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think in general, hunters, you know, we take it for granted that, you know, they shoot their gun a couple shots before season. Sometimes some guys don't shoot at all, and they just expect that they know how to shoot. And it's like anything. You have to practice, you know. I mean, when I'm going to go on a hunt, if it's a rifle hunt, you know, and I've got a bipod on the gun or a sling, I mean, I practice offhand shooting, shooting from the bipod, shooting kneeling, all these things. And this, you know, I'm a full-time shooter, and I still go out and practice, you know, before I go on a hunt, because to me, I feel like I owe it to the animal, and, you know, I want to make the best shot. And you can't totally prepare for every situation, but you got to try, because you have no idea what is going to be placed in front of you and what opportunity you're going to get.
And I'm going to call you out on something, because I know this happens, and a lot of people that watch TV probably don't think it does, but you occasionally miss, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, whether you miss, whether, you know, you just make dumb mistakes, make noise, there's all sorts of things that happen, and it does happen. It's reality. And not the other thing on my show, you're not going to see every single hunt us kill something, because that's not reality. I mean, there's times you hunt for a week and it's tough, the weather's tough, the situation's tough, but it's not all about the kill. It's about the experience, you know. I've been on several hunts with my boys. We didn't kill anything, but you know what? It was the time with them, teaching, having a great time, being outside, you know, in the field, and that, to me, that's what it's all about. I mean, the kill is, you know, however you want to explain it, whether it's icing on the cake or just a formality or whatever. To me, it's about the whole experience.
Absolutely. Doug, is there a website where we can find you? I know there's a whole bunch of stuff on you on the internet, but...
Yeah, actually, my website is, you know, DougKoenig.com. It's being finished up right now. I had a website. We're totally revamping. It should be ready here in the next couple weeks, and please jump on and check it out.
All right. We will put a link on there so our folks can get to it when it is done, and we'll have that link up there. And Doug, I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate your candid honesty about missing. But in all honesty, there are so many things that I have yet to learn, and I will be watching for the show, and I really appreciate you joining us here on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it. Anytime you need me as a guest, I'd love to help out.
Oh, you just, that's going to cost you, because I will.
All right,
I will have you back
great.
For sure. Doug Koenig joining us here. There is a link to DougKoenig.com on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Be patient, folks. It'll be up on the webs. It'll be up there soon. He's getting it rebuilt right now, and there's a lot of information on the internet about him. So we'll get some links to DougKoenig.com. And also, thanks to Brian Bilecki for joining us here on the show. The Fly Fishing Film Tour coming to Okemos next week. And coming up in the next hour of the show, we're going to talk about GoPro cameras right here on Wild Michigan.